Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and the importance of these two words. What is a chief and what is a cornerstone, and putting them together today. We're going to get started with prayer, and then we'll get into our time of communion for today. But if you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communion meditations is we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to do the other half of prayer, to get still, to listen, to examine ourselves before we get into our time of communion for today. But let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, their friends, everybody connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And I ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So we're going to go through the other half of prayer first. And this is where we talk about our four fundamentals. Number one, getting position in the light. Getting position in the light. Number two, magnifying that light. Number three, doing the things that you know to do today and doing them with a good attitude, because we're trusting that God's right there with us, helping us to execute those things. And then number four, staying tuned into his leading, staying tuned into his voice as you go about your day today. Let's start with number one, getting positioned in the light. God has released us from darkness, transferred us into the light. We got a new day today. Every day as time moves forward, we got to keep repositioning ourselves back in the light. Time and space are very related. It's space-time. So as time moves forward, positioning, we got to keep repositioning every single day. We got to keep positioning ourselves back into the light. And it's by faith that we enter into this grace. One of the greatest expressions of faith, thanksgiving and praise and gratitude. And remember, keep in mind, it's forgiveness that brings us into light. It's the forgiveness of sins that brings us in. That's what initiates that transfer, is forgiveness. But that forgiveness has got to be received from God, and then it's got to flow through us out into the world. We got to receive it from God so we can begin to position ourselves in faith to receive that thanksgiving every single day, just through praise and gratitude, living continually today. And then do it again tomorrow, and then do it again the next day. Keep positioning yourself in praise and gratitude. That transfers you into the light. It brings you in to receive all God has for you. It's like it opens you up to be able to receive and expand your capacity to receive all he has. But then it's got to flow through you. That's where we got to learn to forgive ourselves, to love ourselves, to stop beating ourselves up and condemning ourselves for all the ways that we've missed it. We're often our own worst critic, or we put all this pressure on ourselves to try to figure everything out, to try to force everything to happen in our own strength, to try to effort our way through everything. When we got to learn how to rest and to receive from God through praise and thanksgiving and through his grace, and to allow him to be the source of everything flowing through us. And this got to flow through us out into the world, where we walk in the same grace and forgiveness and love with other people that God has given us. So it's got to be received from God. It's got to flow through us out into the world. And just getting positioned in gratitude, thankfulness, and praise can keep you positioned there. And then once we're positioned in the light, we got to begin to magnify that light. To magnify is to make it bigger, is to make it greater on the inside of you. We've got to make it bigger and brighter and greater on the inside of you. Jesus says, be careful that the light that is within you doesn't become darkness. What does that even mean? Be careful that the light that is within you doesn't become darkness. We could be transferred into light. All these promises are true, but we could still be magnifying darkness in our life. We got to make that light bigger and brighter. And now the way we do that is through what we're magnifying, I think. This is what happens in our mind and in our soul. We're all thinking about, talking about, envisioning, imagining something all day long. And it's either light or it's darkness. We're all thinking about and talking about something all day long. It's either light or it's darkness. We can be focused on and magnifying God and his word, his promises, his steadfast, unfailing love, his faithfulness, that he'll never leave us or forsake us, that nothing's impossible with him. He can make all grace abound to us, having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, we can abound to every good work. We can meditate on, bless the Lord, O my soul, Psalms 103, who forgives all my sins, heals all my diseases, redeems my life from the pit, crowns me with steadfast love and mercy, satisfies my desires with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. We can begin to just meditate on these and think on them. And the more we stir them in there and magnify them, they get bigger and greater on the inside of us. But the alternative is we can focus on darkness. We can focus on all the things that are wrong, all the evil, all the dark things that are happening, all the things that could have, would have, should have happened, all the things that haven't happened yet. And we can magnify them through venting and complaining and rolling the problem over and over and over in our mind. And what happens? That problem gets bigger on the inside of you. I know you've experienced it. We had some issue. And the more you thought about it, the more you talked about it, it just became bigger on the inside of you. And it's learning to turn those back around, because we're going to have issues. We're going to have problems. We live in a world that has dark things going on. But to turn them back around and bring them into the light, place of trust, where we say, you know what, God's with me. He's for me. He loves me. He's faithful. He's always on time. Nothing's impossible for him. And you begin to bring that back into the light with him. And whatever you are magnifying is going to begin to magnetize. It's like a magnet where it's going to begin to pull more of it into your life. It's going to begin to pull more of it and attract more of it. And it's going to grow bigger and bigger. Whether that's light or darkness, you consistently magnify the light. You're going to pull more and more of God and his goodness and his faithfulness and his love. You're going to pull more and more of that into your life. You magnify the darkness. You're going to pull more and more of what you don't want into your life. And that's where we got to become good at recognizing what I'm focused on. Because it can shift. We can go from darkness to light in literally 1 second. In an instant, we can change what we're focused on. In an instant, you can get right back into the light. You can position yourself right back in the light and start magnifying that light. But we need to recognize the symptoms. What are the symptoms? When we're focused on light, when we're magnifying light, everything feels light and free and easy and effortless. We're usually positioned in thanksgiving and praise and humility. That's where that grace begins to flow. And all of a sudden, this peace that surpasses all understanding begins to flow. The joy of the Lord that is your strength begins to flow and equips you and empowers you to do what you can't do in your own strength. All of a sudden, your energy levels begin to rise up. Your faith begins to rise up on the inside of you. But when we're focused on darkness, magnifying darkness, it feels heavy. It feels oppressive, like a lot of pressure. It feels confusing and like there's no way out. Because you can't see. You can't know which way to go when you're in the darkness. We usually get into it by talking and complaining and venting and airing our frustrations and all these types of things. And then it leads to the fear and the stress and the worry and the anxiety and the dread and the frustrations and disappointments and goes on and on and on. The more you magnify it, the more it grows. So we got to learn to recognize those symptoms. And all of a sudden, your energy levels, when you're focused on darkness, begin to just go down and down and down. You're like, you know what? I don't know why. Why am I so lacking in energy today? And then our third fundamental, doing what you know to do today. When you're in the light, you can see. You can know which way to go. All of a sudden, you can step over things that were tripping you up before. When you're in the darkness, you can be tripping and stumbling and repeating the same bad things over and over because you can't see what's tripping you up. When you're in the light and positioned in the light, you can know what to do today. So the question becomes, what do you know to do today? Let's get positioned in the light first. And then what do you know to do today? Just taking a second here to write out a plan for the day. What do you know to do? Not the things you're unsure of, not the things you're uncertain of, but there's probably some things that you know you could do today. Not what you can't do, what can you do today? Maybe some administrative things, some things around the house, some things in your workplace, maybe a list of things on the inside that have been stacking up on the inside. Maybe some things you've been procrastinating on, some things you know God has been prompting you to do, but you haven't done them yet. What do you know to do today? And that becomes your plan for today. And then executing those things from a place of rest, from a place of trust that God's going to equip you and empower you to do those things in His strength. That if you just get started, He just needs you to get started. And you begin taking action on those things. He's going to come in and He's going to begin to fill it. He's going to begin to flow through you. And He's going to begin to do the work through you. Jesus said, it's not me who does the work. It's the Father in me who does it. He just needs you to have the willingness to get started. And He's going to begin to flow through you. We're going to begin to trust. He's going to begin to multiply. And He's going to begin to do more through you than you thought you could get done in a day. You're going to have this experience where you look like you had more to do than you could ever get done in one day. And you're going to have it all done by like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and have time to just sit around and be like, all right, what do I do now? To enjoy your life. And not only that, as you go about these things and you execute with God, because whatever He's called you to do, you don't have to do them on your own anymore. He wants to do them in partnership with you. As you execute with God, you're going to have an amazing day. You're going to make today a masterpiece. Not that what you're doing was maybe the most glamorous thing in the world, but you're doing it with God. And His grace flowing through, it's going to make today a masterpiece. And then as we get positioned in the light, we start magnifying that light. We start walking in the things that we know to do. It's something like tuning a radio receiver, where all of a sudden it tunes you in, where your ability to hear more clearly from God, you're going to get so much more clear on the inside as you start clearing out those things that you know to do. Your ability to hear from God is going to greatly increase. You're going to get so much more clarity on God's leading and direction for your life. And He's going to begin to lead you day by day, one graceful step at a time, to this beautiful, spacious place that's free from all restriction. That's his plan for you. That's his desire for you. Just takes us tuning in and following his leading day by day. It's not going to happen in one day. He's going to lead you day by day. But you got to stay tuned in. And what I would encourage you to do is take a few minutes today to get still, to listen, and just ask him this question. God, what is it you're trying to teach me or show me today? Have a piece of pen, have a pen and a piece of paper handy. And just begin to write down whatever you hear. As you begin to record your journey with God day by day. I think recording your journey is one of the most important things you can do. He's going to lead you to that beautiful place. Let's talk about Jesus as the chief cornerstone today. Take a look at a couple of scriptures here. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. It says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household. He's made you to be family, built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So God is building us into this holy building, this holy dwelling, where his Spirit lives within us. And it's in Christ that he holds everything together, and Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone. Now, it's interesting in Scripture. You see that Jesus is both the chief cornerstone and he's the capstone. Capstone holds things together from above. The cornerstone is what everything is built on below. Then in Isaiah 28:16, it says, therefore, this says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. So what is a cornerstone? A cornerstone is usually the first stone that was laid when building a building out of stone. And it was used as the standard to get everything square. Everything had to relate to that cornerstone. All further measurements were always related back to that cornerstone. And so Jesus is our cornerstone. He is our standard. Our standard is not our own standards, what we think is right and best. Our standard is him. As we're growing up in him to become more and more like him, he is our standard. He's the one that we are to be looking to, because he's full of what? Grace and truth. And we're supposed to be growing up. He's our standard. As we go throughout life, we're looking at him as our standard and making corrections to become more and more like him each day. That's where magnifying God's word, getting into your Bible and you're reading it. It's like looking at a reflection in the mirror. You're looking at the word of God. Jesus is the word made flesh. And you look in it and you read in there and then you see things. Wait a minute. I can grow in that. God, help me grow in that. Help me to become more and more like this, what I'm seeing in here. Now, the word chief. This is the word that's been kind of standing out to me as I've been reading this. I find it interesting, the word chief cornerstone. So I got a section in my book, Pockets of Prosperity, where we talk about chiefs. We talk about every community needs to have levels. You need to have levels of people. You need to have leaders and other people doing the work. Every community has levels. For example, grandparents, parents, and kids. Every community needs levels to be healthy. And Jesus is the chief cornerstone. I find that word chief to be very interesting. Here's a little bit from my book, The Pockets of Prosperity. It says, in our world today, we use the word chief for a leader, such as a chief executive officer or CEO, a chief financial officer or CFO, or a chief operating officer or operations officer, COO. In God's community, there's also chiefs. In the Old Testament, there was a model for how the temple operated. And here was the model in the temple. There was the high priest, which Jesus, it says, is our high priest now. There were the elders, and we see in heaven that the elders were sitting around God's throne. The early apostles sitting around his throne. Then there were the chief priests. So there was the high priest, the elders who were basically giving counsel to the chief priest and the high priest. And then there were the scribes underneath the chief priests. So Jesus is now our high priest, but he also needs leaders. Many people get hung up on the titles. Some people call them leaders, chiefs, apostles, whatever you want to call them. The main point is that every community needs leaders. These leaders don't intervene between God and the people. That's Jesus's job. The leaders are there to help and serve the people. The chief priests were those who helped to oversee the work of the temple and assisted the high priest. The elders were in place to assist the high priest and the chief priest in decision-making. And the high priest mentored the chief priests, who were often members of the high priest's family and assisted the high priest. So I think the main point of this is that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He's the leader. He's the first one. He was the first stone laid. God, we've talked about in our program, the Abundant Life Blueprint. God doesn't like to build with bricks. He likes to build with stones. Because stones are all unique and they're made by God, where bricks are all the same and they're made by man. They're made by conforming into a mold and putting pressure on them. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He's the first one. He's the leader. He went first. And he becomes our standard. Everything is based off of what he did now. He put the first stone in place. So we're going to be taking communion over this today. Just gratitude for Jesus and what he did, that he is our chief cornerstone. He set the standard that we can compare our lives to. So Father, we're so thankful for this bread and this juice and what it represents. Thankful that you loved us so much, you're willing to send your one and only Son to die for us so we could have life, be connected back to you, to live a life in the light. That we're being built together to become a dwelling in which you live by your Spirit. Some pretty amazing promises for us, Lord. We're just so thankful for that. We thank you that Jesus is our chief cornerstone. He went first. He's a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. We can build our lives upon him. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he said, "Take it. Receive it. Receive that he makes you right with God and holy and perfect in God's sight through his one sacrifice. We can approach him with freedom and confidence. Father, we just thank you for this bread and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. We're going to have this covenant relationship with God. He's our partner. All because of what Jesus did. The cup of God's wrath was poured onto the body of Jesus so we could have the cup of his blessing. Father, we thank you for this juice and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right, so now it's about walking it out. Let's stay positioned in the light today. Keep magnifying that light. magnifying his word and his promises to you. Keep doing what you know to do today and staying tuned in for his leading. Because today he's leading you one step closer to this beautiful, spacious place, free from all restriction. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the Abundant Life Training Center.com.